Start it up. The people have been waiting.
Start it up.
Back by popular demand.
Bitch, I'm back.
This is Mark.
I'm Zoe.
And this is Ride 3 of Pass Me the Ox. I know you guys have been waiting, not to be like saying anything. Some of you actually have told me that you were waiting, so I'm not like hyping myself up.
Yeah, everybody's like, where's the next episode? It's like, did y'all listen to Ride 2? But okay.
Did you, by the way, yes, that's a question that need answer. QT&A, did y'all listen to Ride 2 or no?
I appreciate the support. Anyway,
I do. Either way, I listened to Ride 2. But on Ride 2, we talked about something very particular about summertime music.
Yes.
About one of the most famous quotes, summer is for ratchet music. Which it is.
It really is.
But the reason I said, like, I wanted to talk about R&B this episode, because I feel like ratchet music has been limited to, like, trap music, to rap music.
It's true.
But R&B is so important.
Amen.
So important.
Amen.
And I wanted to talk about R&B, about its importance, about its role in summer, about its role in life, about, you know, the record industry's prioritizing R&B, just about where it is, where it is. I think this episode should be entitled Bring Back R&B.
I agree, because when I listen to R&B, especially in the summertime, it's probably when I'm coming home from that barbecue, or right, I'm chilling, or I'm like trying to get into a vibe, you know.
Come on, vibes.
Or like if you listen to throwback R&B, because that's essential, right, to like the barbecue, like right, you need that there.
But I really do feel like we're listening to throwback R&B because there is none that people know. Right. Like, it's not out there for people to know.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
And a lot of people are sampling it now, so that's right, part
that's
of it.
True. Yeah. That's true. I almost feel like, in a way, R&B has become like the jazz of our time.
Mm,
you know how like they move jazz a little to the side, mm-hmm, so you can start doing, you know, what jazz was really popular in the 40s. In the 50s, I mean, of course, like from the 20s to the 40s, I don't want to like limit it, but
but it was the height of jazz.
It was the height of jazz. You had all of the greatest greats doing like solo vocal jazz works. And then in the 50s, of course, doo-wop started becoming a little more popular. Motown became a little more popular. Mm-hmm. And from there, it just became like a spiral of things. But I feel like we're in this moment where R&B is sort of like the jazz, where it's like a niche.
Mm-hmm. Because if certain people do it, like, I think right now when people do R&B, if they're not doing essential, like, classic R&B or mm-hmm, sampling the classic R&B, mm-hmm, it's become, like, a trappy, songy type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we both love alternative R&B. Alternative R&B is necessary. It absolutely is necessary. But where is... I feel like there is R&B out there that people just aren't getting to. Like, yeah. I feel like it exists. Like, we had music come out with a record. How many people knew about music's record?
But this is also the thing. I feel like right now, people don't want to hear singing.
Say it again.
Because people love, talk about how much they love Total. Right. They love SWV. And they right, love all these people. But then also, then they hold up. This is no shade, but, like, people like Justine Sky, like, I don't think that she can ooh, sing, Kehlani, like, these okay, people are not
okay,
singers.
Now you're speaking a little more language.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they yeah, want people who sing, but not, right, like, are singers to do R&B music.
Right.
And I think R&B music definition is more, has become something about a story, about a way of, like,
that
how your life is going at
so,
that moment.
I'm
it's a
so
momentary,
glad you brought that up.
Yep, a momentary
I'm
story.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because there are times where I don't think people really understand the entire, what comprises R&B music mm-hmm, entirely, because there are times when people will say, oh, Adele is making R&B, or Bruno Mars is making R&B, and I listen to this, and I'm like, this is yeah, not... Mm-mm. This is not R&B. But, like, to your point, as far as singing is concerned, that's why I feel like it's jazz.
Yeah.
Because
right,
jazz is very... You have to be very skilled to do jazz. You have to have a really great understanding of music and have an acumen for that particular genre.
Yes.
Like, you have to know the notes and, you know,
improvise. Because it's improvisation.
You have to improvise. Wow. Yeah, look at us. Just the vibes right here.
It really is.
But R&B, I feel like you have to sing. And there are not a lot of people out there singing for the gods.
Yes, because everybody's on auto-tune. Like, just because, like, I think auto-tune is essential now. Like, it's a very niche to 2000s music, period.
Yeah.
But also, like, just you have to know and study R&B to know that the concept is clearly a moment. It's,
yeah.
Most of the time, it's not really, the story is not longer than the night. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I feel you.
And think people don't.
I feel you
understand
on
that.
And it's emotive. And a lot of people, as much, it's a combination of things. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a trifecta. So, to your point again, Adele is very emotive. I mean, people feel her. People are always like, oh my God, Adele has me in my feelings. You know what I mean? Like, I want to go see her, so I'm just going to cry at the concert.
Yeah.
I've heard all of this. But there's more to it than just emotion.
Exactly.
It's more to it than just voice. It really is this nearly, it's becoming like a rare thing.
Yeah.
Like, if you are an R&B singer, you're really a rarity. Remember when, speaking of Adele, Joe covered Hello.
Right. And everybody.
That was R&B.
Or Tank. Like, when, I forgot what song he covered, but it was just like, everybody's like, yes, I feel you want, like, Tank covered Beyonce, I believe.
Yes.
So it was just like, you feel that moment, and you feel, but then also, it's
sand
like
sandcastles, by the way.
Right, yeah. Sandcastles.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's like, are we feeling anything anymore? Because I don't think we're feeling much of anything.
I don't think we feel anything. And it really, like, we spoke about both Tank and we spoke about Joe, mm-hmm. and there's also music. I mean, there are people, that's my thing. Mm-hmm. It's not that R&B has been completely, like, removed. Like, mm-hmm. it just doesn't exist. It's that when it does exist, it gets no love.
Yep.
Like, it gets no love. Tank's album was great. I shared it with you.
Yep.
People know it. Some people know it.
Yes.
But it was glorious because Tank is amazing. He's singing.
Vocally, he's singing. So skilled.
He's
Jasmine
so
Sullivan's
skilled.
Album, Reality Show, was bomb.
Right.
All these people came out
King,
with album.
King had an R&B record. They also had some other elements in it, but it was mostly R&B.
Right.
Like, there are albums out there that just exist that people really, they're not getting. It's not getting to people. I don't feel like the record companies are really prioritizing it.
No.
I feel like the last great moment of R&B was mostly like, maybe like 2004, 2005, mm-hmm. where you have Jamie Foxx. You have
the
Usher
Monica's,
with Confessions.
Right, Usher.
You have The Emancipation of Mimi, 2005. You have Breakthrough, Mary J. Blige, 2005.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is Destiny's Child, Destiny Fulfilled, which is like my all-time.
Yeah, that was
all-time
like the
favorite
pinnacle of
R&B greatness. But you had 2004, 2005, where record companies were actually giving
Fantasia,
some
the Monica's
Fantasia,
of that time.
Fantasia, yes. Yes, absolutely. So this was a moment in R&B after, this is even after the 90s, which, I mean, speaking of Monica, she had like, what was it, My First Night or whatever, that was like even number ones. Like, Angel of Mine was like number one. Like, she had all these number ones with these like, pretty much mediocre R&B hits, but because R&B was such the flavor du jour, everybody was hip to it, everybody was loving it, it was always a number one record. Say My Name, always number one, you know what I mean? No scrubs, they just kept going. It was just a one after the other. R&B was killing.
I agree. I think also what's missing is the niche for R&B is kind of either you're older now, like you're around our age and you're like, okay, you've seen that, or you're younger and you missed it. So like, you don't appreciate, like, the younger, like, not saying like, oh, the younger people don't appreciate, but like, they don't know because it's not, it wasn't in their time, like, they didn't grow with it. So I think that has a big influence on how people's palates in terms of wanting R&B at this moment too.
That's probably true.
Now,
but where do we fall? Where do we miss that, though?
So then the fill-in for that is like the Bryson Tillers. Because that would be like, oh, technically Don't is an R&B record.
Right.
But also it's not really an R&B record because it's not, they're not singing.
Right.
Like, they're singing, but they're not singing.
Right.
So
I guess that's fair, but like, where did we drop the ball? Because R&B did not just come up in the 90s.
No,
like, it wasn't
it
just
didn't.
Like, oh, here's the 90s, here's SWV, right. here's Shy, here's, you know,
right. all these
Boys to Men and Jodeci and like all of these great, great wow. Moke and Steph, even because you know I live for Moke and Steph. Since we're talking about ratchet music for New the summer,
oh,
He's Mine is yes. the track of my lifetime.
Why are you going there?
But where did we drop the ball? Because R&B was alive in the 60s.
Yeah.
It was alive in the 70s. Like, that wasn't... It didn't just happen in the 90s where we had people who were actually able to be number one being mm-hmm. R&B.
Yeah.
Like, where between 2004 and 2016 did we miss... do you have some thoughts on that? Like, where did we go wrong? Like, where is it?
I think also the attention span and then people's palettes of what they define as singing has changed drastically because some people will tell me certain people can sing and I'll be like...
Put them out. Go ahead, put them out.
I'll be like, where? Like, I just want to know how
tell
this
me.
Person is singing.
Tell me. Don't say this person. Give it to me.
Like Jennifer Hudson. I'm not even being shady. Like, this episode is not... I'm not shady. Shady Aftermath Records. I'm
Can
not
Can I tell
to
you something about that? Because we did not get a chance to do a recap of the BET Awards.
Oh, my God.
When I called her Screamer for Hudson. When Screamer for Hudson. When I heard... Dun, 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 and I saw her come out in that white.
You knew.
I wanted to cry.
I know.
Why of all the songs?
Pause.
Why?
Pause. Because I was like, when? First off, I was mad that Fantasia didn't sing.
Bruh. And you saw Fantasia. You saw her in the audience.
She was like, I know.
Like,
I could have
eat this song alive.
She sings this in her sleep. Like, in this is sleep. When she wakes up to like to make breakfast and she's singing Purple Rain. Like, it's just like, these are things that she does.
That's what she does. Fantasia would have murdered Purple Rain. And for them to... See, the person who was on camera knew this. Like, show Fantasia's expression. Show her face. And it's not even just an American Idol rivalry. It really is about the soul of R&B.
Right.
And as much as Jennifer... And I think this is to that point.
Thank you. I was just about to say
as
that.
As much as Jennifer can... sing, if you will, it's not R&B.
She has technical...
She's gospel.
She has technical aspects of actually having pitch, right? But the aspect of R&B is the soul.
Yes.
That's why it's like R&B / soul. Because
right.
it's like the actual emotion, which we were talking about in the beginning.
Right.
And I think that Jennifer Hudson can hit those notes. And then I think her emphasis on the notes is her screaming. So that does not
yes.
emphasize the actual soul in it. It's just
but
actually
a lot of people believe that is. A lot of
right.
people believe soul is screaming. But I just wanted to make the point that people like to group
mm-hmm.
all black music together.
Yeah,
and they think that anytime you're doing anything, that it's just one genre. So they think anytime you're singing it's R&B. They think anytime you're singing it's even hip-hop. Like, they'll nominate you for a hip-hop record and you never rapped in your life.
Okay. Okay.
So,
okay. Like, just like... Okay.
So Jennifer Hudson is singing, but that's not necessarily R&B.
Yeah, no.
Like, that's not R&B music
right.
that she's doing. She has a gospel voice. She should be singing gospel music.
Right.
I mean, that's just...
Period.
That, and she needs a little bit more control. But that's another
that's
story
other
for another
thing.
Day.
Yeah.
But I was so hurt that they allowed her to do the Purple Rain. I was sad.
And,
but
yeah,
continue,
I think,
I'm sorry.
No. It's just... That's just the emphasis.
People think that certain people can sing, and
right.
they can't.
Like, just like, I went to the bar at the Barclays. They had this basketball classic game, right?
Yeah.
With the celebrities, they had a basketball game. And they had Justine Scott do the national anthem. Well, I'm going to exclude the national anthem from this conversation because, like, singing the national anthem is such a hard thing that people
mm-hmm.
don't even understand that this song is really not made for anybody to sing.
Mm-hmm.
But... Like, she was singing the national anthem, and me and my friend Gina, we were looking at each other like, this girl's not singing. Like, she just can't. Like, I think people mistake, don't know. I don't know if they have an ear for music, too. Like, people mistake actually enjoying music for having an ear for it and for actually having an ear for what's actually happening. Like, because it's like, you can hit those notes.
Right.
I can hit notes. I can definitely hit notes, but I can't. I wouldn't say I'm a singer. Like,
right.
I'm not singing. Like, I think people... we are quick to gas people on right. terms of like what they're doing, and if right. like if you hit like a high C, you'll be like, yes, like right. it's just automatic like reflex at this point.
Definitely.
And I think that people don't appreciate actual ability.
I agree with that so much, because singing is so much more than just notes.
Yes.
It's so much more than just screaming.
Yeah.
It's so much more than just growling. Like, it's a lot more than all that. Even with Adele, whom I've been critical of, only because I feel like she really is this huge artist. I mean, she's going diamond in 2016, and she doesn't really put in the effort necessary to be a diamond artist.
I agree.
Like, how are you going diamond and you still have so much more work to do? Like,
I agree.
She was going to Houston recently, and she said that she wanted to do a cover of Dangerously in Love by Beyonce.
Wow. I know she's a huge fan of Beyonce, which is fine.
That's fine. But then she was like, I don't really have the technique to do Dangerously in Love.
Well, and I'm glad that she can admit that.
Right, I said this. I said that. I said, I'm so grateful. I love her for that, for knowing that. And her fans do not, because they gas her. They do. You know they do.
Oh,
they think
I'm
she is the
there.
Second coming. I mean, we even had some publications asking if she was Whitney Houston, which that should never be a question. Nobody is Whitney Houston.
That's the thing. And that's another thing about our generation. They, like you said, they group together all black sounding
yes.
music
yes.
together.
Yes.
And it's
yes.
like... Actually, no, because we don't group Led Zeppelin and Guns N' Roses in the same, you know, like, we don't
yeah.
group these people together. Like, it's rock, but you don't
right.
necessarily group them together and compare them. Like,
sure.
some things are not comparable. And I think that as humans at this time, it's hard to not make things comparable. We're always looking for, this sounds like this, so therefore it's this. Like, instead
it's
of just leaving people. Right. Yeah,
it's so much miseducation, but... She really said, like, I don't have the technique, and I also credited her with knowing that. But my
yeah.
friends, I had some friends on Facebook who studied music, and they're like, that's not enough. Like, you are a singer. That's your job. Like,
right.
Adele's not clocking in like us.
Right.
Like, she's not going to work 9 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
Her job is actually singing.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you not working to get to
Absolutely.
A place to sing? Whereas I feel like people who sing, sing.
Mm-hmm.
R&B music, as we
mm-hmm.
talked about, they work for that. You know what I mean?
We talked
about Whitney Houston.
Yep.
She worked. Whitney Houston was naturally talented, but she worked.
Yeah. It was
to get to a place.
It gets to a place where it's effortless.
Yes.
But you have to work there. I think that's the thing. Like, people don't... Like, we just talked about Rihanna in the last two... In the first episode
yeah.
of PMTA. Rihanna didn't now does not sound like Rihanna from standing like from
sure.
the Sun, whatever the first album
Music
that she
of the Sun,
right
yeah.
Music of the Sun
yeah.
But like, she had to take voice lessons, and still people were heralding her like, oh my god. I think when she
sure.
sang at the last whatever awards she was at, and it was like, oh my god, yes, Rihanna's singing for her life. But also, that's if you're comparing Rihanna from beginning Rihanna to now Rihanna, okay, she has improved, but
right.
that does not mean that she is at a level where it's comparable to Beyonce, because
right.
that's where the assumption goes. Everybody's
right.
like, yes, she's singing, so yes, we're going to compare her to Beyonce, and she's,
right.
why, like, how is that even a conversation?
Well, Beyonce has been the standard for quite a long time. I mean, you remember in the early and mid-2000s, every time somebody came out,
yes.
it was whether or not they were good enough, as good as Beyonce.
Right.
It's like, is she the next Beyonce? Is this person Beyonce? Does she look as nice? Whatever. You know how people compare, all barbershop talk.
Yes.
Like, that was the thing. To this mm-hmm. moment, she still is the standard, and people want to compare everybody to Beyonce. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
Who has also worked on her craft,
yes.
and it's important to do so, but I feel like we give people so much now.
Yeah.
Like, we've already given Adele this Burger King crown of being a Whitney Houston, where she has not even worked for that. So where is the incentive to do so? We've given, I mean, Katy Perry had 5 number one singles off an album comparable to Michael Jackson, who did the same with Bad.
Right, but no.
But is she Michael Jackson because of that?
Is not
like, is she Michael? We gave Lady Gaga that after 2 albums. We gave
right.
her legendary status. She came out with Art Pop and flopped. Like,
mm-hmm.
we just give people these things.
Yeah.
And that's why, I mean, now that you're saying this, now that we're having this conversation, this is really like therapy for me.
Yeah.
Because it's putting things in perspective. Our bar is so low.
Right.
that we give people things so we don't even know when people are actually killing. Right. We don't even know that Tank is of a better quality than a Justin Bieber because we just give Justin Bieber things based on popularity, just based
like
on Drake. Sales.
Everybody's like, oh, like just like how everybody rushed to be like, yes, I love views without even hearing the whole album. It's like, right, did you really listen to it? And everybody got mad at Joe Budden for expressing his opinion, but he was really telling the truth. Like, we don't even know what Drake's best album is. Can we even have any, like, how many albums? This is his third album? Fourth album.
Yeah.
We didn't even get to, how can he be legendary and we didn't even get there yet? Yes, he's making the numbers, but it's just, I feel, we are giving crowns out too much and too fast to people.
Way too fast. Way, way, way too fast.
Like, Brandy's still not even getting her credit. And you know she's one of the best vocalists of our generation.
Like, can you talk about... Say it again for the people in the back. Please say it again for the people who just tuned in.
Like...
Brandy still has not gotten her crown. 20 years in the business.
Right.
And she will sing everybody under the benches.
Yep.
Like, there is no question about that. Once again, R&B music that is not being prioritized. She came out with Begging and Pleading, which you know... is one of the best songs that we've heard in a long time. I just now got that run after 4 months. I just now, and I'm not going to do it for y'all on here. I'm not. But if y'all ask me, I'm going to upload it. But she's changed the way we listen to music. She's changed the way we sing. She's inspired the Jessie J's and the JoJo's and that. I mean, even Beyonce had a Brandy run on Jealous on Subtitle. So she's changed the way we sing. But once again, the credit is not given, and the people who actually have the talent aren't prioritized. There's a couple things I think we found out here. One, because of the record labels, are not putting them up there. The record labels are no way promoting Brandy the way they would promote Adele.
Oh, no.
The way they would promote Katy Perry. The way they would promote Rihanna, even.
Absolutely.
They're not doing that. And then people's taste because of that. I feel like we've gotten so... Maybe it's a couple things. Maybe it's the internet. Like, we can get things so quickly, and it doesn't have to grow on us. Maybe it's just how you can get a record deal, the enhancements that we have with music. Mm-hmm. You don't actually have to go in and just sing for your life. Mm-hmm. There was an interview pretty recently with these people who were talking about unreleased Beyonce tracks, and they were talking about how Sweet Dreams was actually had ended up being released. But Beyonce was on, like, break, like, from another recording, and just went in and recorded Sweet Dreams within, like, 20 minutes. No flaws. What? No errors. Just every night of... Like, just sing.
Wait, she recorded that in 20 minutes?
Yeah, like, she just sang it. Like, every part. Like, just killed it. And was done. And was like, you got all everything you need. And there was no need for enhancements on that. But that's such a rarity. That's such a rarity. We just listened to Endow Me a couple days ago. Which is amazing, of course.
Yes, that... Ugh.
And it has all this R&B royalty on there.
Right.
Faith, Fantasia, Coco, Lil Mo. But Faith and Fantasia didn't need enhancements.
No, but, like, that's the other thing. Like, also, I think people are acclimated to certain types of sounds. So, like, even I, when we were, you asked me who was my favorite on that track, and I said Lil Mo because... Right. I really enjoyed her on that.
Yeah,
even though I said that Fantasia was absolutely flawless.
Fantasia is never, she's never flawful.
Right.
Like, she's never have any flaws.
So it's like, I already gave her that crown before I even.
I mean, Lil Mo did well, but once again, she used auto-tune. Fantasia did not have to because, and that's not any shade to Lil Mo. She's done what she has, and she has some great songs that we all love, but. Fantasia is a different breed.
Yeah.
Beyonce, once again, these types of people, Brandy doesn't need nobody's auto-tune. Get
not
the auto-tune out of here.
Not
like, she's done it, but she doesn't need it. And there are certain people who do. There are certain people who use it ad nauseum. I mean, Britney Spears, I feel like she always got something together. And that's fine. That's fine.
It's
but
true.
Once again, you have to give people their due. You have to give people their due and not give people these crowns so immediately.
Herald people so easily and we don't even let them work. And then they flop and then we're just quick to abandon them. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know if it's the attention span.
That's exactly it. That's exactly what I'm saying about this whole Gaga thing. This whole, I was up in arms when Bruno Mars did the Super Bowl right after Beyonce. Right. And not just because I'm, like, anti-Bruno Mars. It was just that he did not work for that. Like, there were people who were in line. And so you have Beyonce who did the Super Bowl. You have Michael. You have Diana Ross. You have Patti LaBelle. You have Janet Jackson. You have all these people who have actually worked. And then the Super Bowl is, like, an icing.
Right.
It's on the cake. It's exactly. Like, oh, you worked so hard, and now we're giving you the Super Bowl with the largest audience of people to watch any game in America.
Right, even it could have been Justin Timberlake.
He did it already.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
I feel like Pink could have been there. It could have been everybody there. They give it to Bruno Mars.
Again.
I just feel like he hadn't worked... I forgot about that. But I just feel like he hadn't worked enough to get to that point. I just feel like people aren't working. And people aren't making them.
No.
You know how many times Aretha flopped? You know how many times Marvin Gaye flopped?
Right. Just like even... Like, I go back to Drake all the time because it's our generation's, like, icon at this point. Like... Even certain songs are whack, but we really enjoy them, and it's like we don't even give him his proper criticism. You know what I'm saying?
People are afraid to, or people are not allowed to. And like,
I think with our generation is what's trending. So instead of what actually is ability and precision, is not, it's more of what's trending at the moment. You don't want to feel left out or not knowing or...
Yeah, I mean, no, definitely. But I also feel like maybe, to my point a little earlier, like, where did we drop the ball? Maybe in the 90s we really did lower the bar. Because there are some singers in the 90s, some R&B singers in the 90s. You about to share SWV. I see it in your face. As soon as your face was made, I saw it in your face. But there were singers who were not even really singing. If you think about T-Boz. If you think about Keith Sweat, I mean, these are R&B singers. Right. So talking about R&B music. They weren't really giving you everything that you needed vocal-wise. They weren't.
No, they just weren't. I was gonna say TLC is a prime example. Yeah. Like Chili and T-Boz weren't singing for their life.
So maybe it was the '90s where we dropped the ball.
I think it is.
Because you was not gonna catch Whitney slipping. You was not gonna catch Phyllis Hyman slipping. You was not gonna catch Michelet. You was not gonna catch any of these. People not singing. Like, they were going to sing. Patti LaBelle was singing for her life in the 80s. For the whole time. Gladys Knight was always singing. Aretha was always singing. Curtis was always... I mean, like, people were singing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we could name. Go on.
So, maybe it was the 90s where we dropped the ball and we just made it a little lower. And we're like, okay, TLC, y'all got a little bit of this hip-hop.
Right.
Aaliyah even.
Aaliyah's another example. Yeah. Because... As much as everybody loves her music and it's so relatable, Aaliyah wasn't giving us vocals. Ashanti wasn't giving us vocals. Like, these people weren't giving us vocals, but we enjoyed their music.
Right.
And people still herald Ashanti up there. And I'm just like, how?
Woo! Wait, please at these people. At them vocally. Please at them on here. Because I need them to be put on blast. Because
Ashanti fans...
She has fans?
Yeah, she has a fan base.
Bruh. Remember the New York Times article when they said solo Beyonce, she's no Ashanti? Bruh. The games. But no, I mean, like, I really do feel like maybe it did become more about the music than about the vocal ability because... But even now, it's not, you're not even giving
Keisha
us the
Cole.
Music.
Like, even.
I just listened to Keisha Day. And she has some bops.
Yes.
She has some bops.
So. But even so, like, once again, Keisha Cole's voice was hoarse. And we loved the music. Like, she had, first of all, she had great songs that were, once again, relatable. I think it's just that R&B became more about being more, how relatable it can be as opposed to vocal ability.
This is good. Maybe that's true. Wow.
Because it was relatable, it had vocal ability. Now it's morphed into how relatable is the song and you're singing.
And good music. Because people aren't even giving you good production anymore. Like, we can't even get good production. Because I could probably overlook it. I could probably do that.
But you know why we're not getting good production? Because people are making it from their laptops. They're home. It's on the internet.
Why? It's not musicians.
Yeah.
See, this is problematic. This whole thing, like, this is really therapy for me. Like, I know we speaking to the people, but this is helping me because I really struggle with, I mean, having grown up in the 90s, having grown up in this height of R&B greatness, I feel like. I feel like everybody that you love had been out in the 90s, had been successful with R&B music. Like, it was really legit. but now was just so lost. And I just feel like people miss out. Like, how can you even break up with somebody without R&B music? Like, how do you cope?
Tell me about
what
it.
Do you listen to when you break up with people nowadays?
Now people listen to Bryson Tiller.
How? I'm dead serious.
Yeah. No, it's
you
know? True.
Like, you need to break up to something. What do people have sex to?
Bryson.
Bruh. Let me out the car. Like, how? I just feel like we're at such a loss because R&B is really the soundtrack of our lives. Not even just summer music, not even just riding home. But, like, we made babies to R&B. We broke up and coped with it to R&B. We fell back in love with people. We dedicated songs to people
also,
with R&B music. I don't want to dedicate these random songs to you right now.
No, but that's the thing. Like, I think that we're losing the attention span.
Yeah, maybe.
Because now nobody wants to hear a full, like, Jodeci songs used to be like 5 New Edition songs. They used to be so long. You know what I'm saying? So now nobody wants to hear a 7-minute song. Nobody wants to hear a 5-minute song.
Right. You know Beyonce will give you, because it Dance For You. Remember Dance For You?
Well, 6.
Remember Speechless? Remember Rocket? I mean, there are people who are still doing it. And if you're not, that's the sad thing, though. Like, if you're not a Beyonce, people are not going to know it.
No, people are not going to listen. And that's the other thing, because people are not going to listen if they don't like you.
Yeah.
Or for preconceived notions about your music.
Right.
I think we're not open to hearing certain things anymore, because it's like, oh, like, even people got mad at us for talking about Beyonce. Like, you talk about Beyonce so much, but the thing that people don't understand is that Beyonce, whether you like her music or not, she technically, vocally, and creatively is one of the best of our generation. Whether you want to give it to her or not, that's right. Fine. But aspects, she's incomparable to a lot of people, and people just don't want to give her that credit. Like, I think people have a problem with giving people certain credit.
They do. I mean, people are reluctant. I mean, Beyonce is pretty. And so, you know what I mean? Right. No, seriously, yeah, that's how they start. They're like, mm-hmm. Oh, she's just beautiful. Oh, she's just gorgeous. Oh, she wear weave. She likes skin. I mean, they use a lot of things to discredit her. A lot of it is sexist, because they don't give these same rules to Drake.
No.
They don't give these same rules to anybody, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's sexist, it's racist sometimes. People pigeonhole Beyonce, or they try to discredit her. Beyonce's almost been 20 years in the industry. We have this woman whose peers are actually Christina and Britney and Justin, who's compared to Whitney and Janet, etc., and whose contemporaries are Drake and Rihanna,
right,
and Miley Cyrus. So to me, like, like, she transcends all of these. She is the icon of our time.
Mm-hmm.
And just a disclaimer, I am a Beyonce fan, because I think it would be silly not to be. This woman is giving us actual music.
Yeah.
She's actually singing. She's actually rapping. Like, she's actually doing things
right. That
I enjoy musically. So I just think it would be silly to deny the blessing of God for my life. Like, that's just dumb. So I do appreciate Beyonce, but, like, to deny that she's the icon of our time, to deny that people are still saying I Woke Up Like This, are still saying Freakum Dress, are still saying I Got Hot Sauce in My Bag. Like, that's, she is an icon. People replicate what she does. People enjoy what she does. And you don't necessarily have to, but I feel like at no other time, and perhaps it's just because we didn't have the technology to know it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But at no other time when an icon was raised up, did people reject them so thoroughly. I don't feel like people rejected Michael. I don't feel like people rejected Elvis. I don't feel like people rejected the Beatles. I don't feel like that was just a thing.
Absolutely.
Aretha, even. I don't feel like they were just like, oh, Aretha is nothing. Like, what does Beyonce have to do for people to be like, oh, yeah, she is a legend now? 20 years! 20 years! I gave y'all 20 years. I gave y'all vocals. I gave y'all dances. I gave y'all costumes. I gave y'all concerts. I gave y'all movies.
Hair.
I changed the game with the digital drop. I changed the game with that movie, that visual movie.
Wait, but people don't give Beyonce credit. Like, your favorite artists are dropping their albums on Fridays now.
And nobody wants to acknowledge it.
Your favorite artists are just dropping albums out of nowhere. Like, because who did that before? And if people did, it didn't bring attention.
It didn't change the game. It's the difference between doing it and changing
albums.
The game. Who's winning Emmys for albums? Because did not release them on TV. She released her record on TV. Unprecedented.
Right.
And nobody wants to acknowledge that. And so, it's really hard. And I mean, I know this is supposed to be about R&B, but Beyonce is the only pop star right now consistently doing R&B, consistently selling over a million records, even as a black artist out that's not doing hip hop. Right. And that is actually sad. I mean, it's a credit to Beyonce, but it's really sad that people aren't pushing a million.
Yeah, it's not a lot. Crazy. It's really the only other person is Drake. And he ain't doing R&B. Even though he's singing, he's not doing R&B.
Yeah.
And even, it's really sad, especially the state of the music industry right now about how people aren't pushing units no more because units don't exist besides in streaming and downloads. Right. You know what I'm saying? So.
And then people hype those up.
Right. So then where does the borderline become between talent and experience and knowledge? Because I don't think people are studying music like they used to either. Because Beyonce knows these Egyptian skills and all these things, like random stuff that a lot of people that are her colleagues or cohorts don't know.
People don't know. I mean, we've seen this experience. We've seen the experience. People who know music have seen the experience from Beyonce's growth and Destiny's Child and more towards solo work as far as like crafting a pop song, as far as all of the arrangements that they've tried and that they've done and all of the acapellas, semi-acapellas that they've done. And like, they just have this knowledge of music. It's in them. Right. So it's baffling to me. It's disheartening, obviously, because it says, like, where is the future of music? Is it just going to be pop and rap? Because that's not really a future that I want. And, of course, now we have radio where we've talked about payola playlists. Mm-hmm. We've talked about how radio is owned by just a small number of formats. And so they play these same records over and over and over again. Mm-hmm. It feels like we are really going to get to a place where it's just pop and rap music that we hear.
Yeah.
There's no in between. There's no R&B. There's no jazz. There's no rock. There's no
hardcore.
Nothing but pop and rap.
Right. I think, yeah. The genres are merging together now.
Thanks, Drake.
Yes.
I mean, seriously, no.
He foreseen that, though.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's great about him, and that's the thing that's horrible to the detriment, hopefully not, but now it's making the listener do the work now. Because before you had the radio to tell you this is hot,
right?
Now we have to go and find a playlist, if whatever you subscribe to had these multiple things to say, okay, here's this, so you can figure out and weed out. And now the radio is based on what the listener is picking to be like, yes, we listen to this constantly.
Right.
So it's just like a cycle, but it's like, where is the medium? Like you said, the A&R is missing. The radio is owned by a couple formats, so it's not really there.
That's why we have Fast Me Now.
I mean,
to be honest, I mean, we people like us, not just us. Like, I'm not that naive to believe that just us we're going to change the world, but we can help introduce people to actually what's good. Like, I feel like people are so quick to share stuff on social media, and I'll click on it and be like, this is what y'all like.
Right. Just like,
because it's so lame to me. But there is so much good music out there. And like, I talk to my coworkers all the time, and I'm like sharing different things. I write on a poster like, you need to listen to this. Mm-hmm. Like, this is actually what's good. Mm-hmm. Like, Fifth Harmony is not going to change your life. Like, it's actually what's good.
Okay.
So, I mean, it's things like this. It's people who actually know. I feel like there's like the bearers of good music, and people whom, like, when I was growing up, I feel like they were like cramping my style. Like, they were like, that's not even good music. I'm like, you don't even know what good music is. But maybe they did.
Right.
And we just didn't listen.
And we didn't get to experience it too.
I think we did. I think we grew up in a time of really good music.
No. But I'm saying that, like, we didn't experience it directly with them. Mm. Like, the older people who we was like, they like, you don't know nothing about good music.
Like in the 70s?
Right. So then we didn't get to directly experience it. But obviously we went back and we were like, oh, this, I appreciate this. Like, I can listen to Mary Jane or anything by Marvin Gaye and be like, yes, this actually hits because of the musicianship.
With that Rick James shout out. No, Rick James, that's R&B, baby. But no, seriously, I live for Rick. No, I mean, it was important, but that was also a role that radio played. Radio would play some older school stuff, or parents maybe parents teach the babies. Like, growing up, my mother played older music in the home, mm-hmm. cleaning up or like having a good time. Like, parents, I enjoy that parents are joining with the contemporaries and liking music, and like sometimes my mom like will listen to like contemporary sounds or songs that she enjoys, Beyonce, or she enjoys Lil' Kim, or she enjoys, you know, just contemporary music in general. But teach the babies, like, play this music. It's really, really good music. And maybe we don't, maybe everybody's listening to their music on their phones, but people also have like this personalized music experience. You listen on your computer, you mm-hmm. listen on your phone, you listen in your room, mm-hmm. versus having a record player that everybody has to listen to.
Yeah.
Or a CD that everybody has to listen to. Everybody has a personalized music experience, which doesn't really call for much integration.
Absolutely.
But maybe people should have like family nights where you listen to like something from everybody's time. Like, seriously, because we cannot lose R&B indefinitely. I will not stand for it.
I refuse, because it's just such an important part of music.
It is.
In terms of like we said, the ability, the improvisation, the
feeling,
the soul.
And it, but they still not gonna play it, so we gotta figure out a way for them to play it. I need R&B and or soul to have a platform on mainstream music accolades, publications, all of that. Right. Like, I need... So, D'Angelo had this phenomenal record, The Black Messiah.
Right.
Phenomenal record. Highly rated mm-hmm. in the 90s. Was not even nominated for Album of the Year. Was nominated for Contemporary R&B Album. Which they will relegate all black music to. We've seen it with Michael Jackson. We've seen it with every artist. Mm-hmm. It's so important to integrate. I feel like people think that including black music is just including rap. And so they'll have Kendrick Lamar in this category, or they'll have, you know, Jay-Z or Kanye in these categories, and they'll prop them up, but they won't give any space to soul and or R&B music. Yep. Erykah Badu's mixtape was awesome.
Right.
And King is awesome. Yep. Jasmine is awesome. Mm-hmm. Janelle is... Like, we have music made by people who have R&B influences, real ones, mm-hmm. real ones.
Yeah,
I'm talking about. Like, this is not just like, oh, they sang a song with a piano. Like, that's not R&B.
Right.
I'm
talking about acoustic is not R&B.
I'm talking about real R&B music that is there that people are not giving a platform to. And so it's like, black music matters. All of it. All of it.
Oh, don't even start that. Because it's like, if black music matters, then rock matters too. No,
but we made that too, girl. Like, you can't even say that, though. No, we made that too.
They
like,
play.
We, mainstream music is a result of black creativity. Like, that's, we've said that before.
Period.
We talked about that before.
Period.
And that's just the reality. And for music to thrive, we can't be locked out of it. Like,
no.
We just can't. We have to be in a space where there's a platform where people will feel comfortable making that type of music, because you have talented people who would then go to the completely opposite side because they don't feel like there is a market for it.
Yep.
Like, how can I make R&B music if nobody's going to buy it? You know?
And that goes back to people buying music.
There you go.
That's crazy. I'm just scared. I'm not, like, I just want to know what are we going to hold as art? Art is so important.
Taylor
what are we going to...
No shade.
I'm tired.
She's a writer.
She
writes. She can sing. She can play some things. I just feel like when we talk about in comparison, and maybe it's not always fair to compare, but if you would give everybody a platform... You know what I mean? If you give everybody a platform and let the people choose. I don't feel like people have a choice.
No.
I feel like we're fed who to choose. Let's not
I
get
agree.
Into politics. But I feel like...
Yeah.
I mean, feel like we're fed who to choose.
In terms of
and
music,
then you choose from that.
Yep.
And that's why we need a platform for R&B. And I don't know how we get this. I don't know how we get this outside of Pass Me the Ox, how we get this outside of people who actually care about the genre saying it. I feel like there should be more work at the upper level, at the people, at the establishment who know people. I mean, you can't tell me people don't know Erykah Badu. We had people like Givenchy, you know, Ricardo Tisci reaching out to right. Erykah Badu saying, I want you to be a part of this campaign, or like a Tom Ford, or like mm-hmm. whomever. Erykah is known. Three Stacks and then when Outkast would do some R&B records, they were known.
But you know what it is also? People are doing things independently and trying to break away from the label. So if you're trying to do independent, right. Because one, I mean, I totally agree with it because mm-hmm. you're not making that money. You rather make it directly yourself. Mm-hmm. But you're missing all the levels. Once you go independent, you right. don't always pay attention to those levels. Mm. It solely becomes about distribution. Mm. It's not about
promo.
And if you're doing promo, you're just going to radio stations. Right. So it's not really cultivated toward the audience.
Right. It's a lot. Yeah. It's a lot.
I'm exhausted just thinking about it.
I really do want to get to a place. I mean, R&B helps out hip-hop so much mm-hmm. in the 90s. When we talk about Celine Dion featuring rap artists, Mariah Carey featuring rap artists, until everybody started featuring rap artists in their R&B tracks. Even TLC having a built-in rap artist in their right. group. So perhaps rap will return the favor and start featuring more R&B.
I have a question.
Yeah.
What do you think about groups? The missing thing of groups.
I think groups are dead now. And it always goes in cycles, of course. Like we talked about Motown, that era mm-hmm. was huge for groups. And then I feel like the 70s carried some of that a little more. But we started to see a little more rise of solo. The 80s. Some groups again. I feel like the 90s was like group central, especially mm-hmm. like boy bands, if you will. There were so many groups. Blackstreet, Backstreet, like
right. Blackstreet, Boys to Men, H-Town. New Edition, Bell Biv DeVoe, turn New Edition.
Right.
Like it's just.
It was so many groups till you almost wonder what's the point. And with people getting these crumbs.
Yeah.
Like how do you even make a group survive? Like how do you make a group survive? So. I think it'll be interesting to see if they do come back around. We are seeing Fifth Harmony. There was One Direction at one time. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, there are some groups here and there, but I don't know if it's sustainable for the record industry now, who doesn't even want to pay one person.
I agree. I just wanted to know what your opinion was because that's the one thing I think was essential to the R&B at that time was the groups.
Oh, wow. You think so?
Because, like, the last time we had a group was, like, B2K and all those people.
B2K is hot. Yeah.
But they were popping, you know? Like, we had those groups, and now we don't have that. So that eliminated a big part of mm-hmm. what we herald as classic R&B. Because a lot of our classic R&B was the Jodeci's and all those people.
That's true. I will say that's true.
Like, in terms of 90s.
R&B. Yeah, no, I will say that's true. I agree with that. 1,000%, I do.
But I don't know if... But I think also those cater to a younger audience. As we're getting older, it would be harder to get a group to...
I mean, Kelly Rowland just did it recently. We mm-hmm. saw that. Diddy made a couple of bands.
Right.
And we saw that, but he never really focused solely on R&B, so that might be the difference. Maybe we could see some group. But that, once again, where's the A&R? Nobody's mm-hmm. out there finding these groups. Right. Nobody's out there grooming these groups. Nobody's out there making them run on treadmills and sing. Or making them cross bridges for cheesecake. Like, there are no... yeah. Like, how are you building the bonds for these groups? How are you actually perfecting the group? How are everybody working? Is everybody putting in? Like, I don't know if there are mentors out there. If there are people out there actually making sure that these groups... can be successful enough to mm-hmm. even carry R&B, or if they even have the desire to do R&B, because even these groups that we've seen recently, they've all gone directly to pop.
Right.
Like, they've come in and they've gone pop.
Yeah.
It's hard. I don't know what we'll see. I don't know what the state of R&B will be in a couple of years. I really do feel like we're in its jazz moment, that it's a specialized thing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, she's an R&B singer. She can really sing versus, like, everybody should be able to sing.
right.
So, yeah, we'll see, I guess.
Right. If y'all know any real singers that we don't know about or acknowledge, please let us know. Like,
or any ideas for how we can make this pop? How we can get R&B popping?
No back pun intended. Again, right?
But pun intended, actually. Let's get it popping on pop radio.
Yes.
Seriously.
Follow us on PMTA Podcast on IG, Twitter, Facebook.
Yes.
Email us at PMTA Podcast@gmail.com. Yeah.
We hope to hear from you guys. Tell your friends, like, subscribe, share with us. We have been so active on IG. We've sort of done like this content marketing thing where we're telling people. So many people have liked that.
Yeah.
Which is good. So are we announcing the
thing? In Ride 4, we've been telling you guys that we've been having a lottery for, you know, our followers. Yeah. That we're giving out 2 iTunes gift cards. Ooh. So, and we'll announce the winners in
for
Ride 4.
I'm joking. I'm joking. You can buy whatever you want.
Yeah, so we'll announce the winners in Ride 4. So don't forget to tell a friend to tell a friend, tell a friend. And you might be one of those people that would win. So,
awesome.
Keep up with us.
Thanks for taking a ride.
It's lit.
It's lit.